Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
True Hauntings is a Frightfully Good production.
In 1924, the pretty wife of a distinguished Boston surgeon came to embody a raging national debate over the values of the spiritualism movement, which was devoted to communication with the dead.
Newspapers dubbed her the Blonde Witch of Lime Street, but she was known to her followers simply as Marjorie. Some called her a mystic and some called her a fraud, but this is the story of a woman who has also been called one of the most powerful mediums ever. Hi, I'm Renata.
And I'm Anne, and in this episode of the True Hauntings podcast, we investigate the life of Marjorie Crandon. Who was she and what did she do to cause such a controversy?
Anne and Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow, forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
Early in the March of 1923, a charming, pretty upper-class Bostonite named Mina Crandon went to her first séance. She did it on a whim, almost as a joke, deciding to go while still out on her customary horse ride with her friend Kitty. Thus, Mina found herself in a spiritualist minister's study in the middle of the afternoon, still wearing her riding clothes and trying not to laugh. Then, the medium started to speak. He channeled a strapping blonde man Mina was shocked to recognise. Her brother, Walter Stinson, dead some dozen years. The medium knew things about him that he shouldn't have. He had a message for her from Walter. Far from making fun of clairvoyance, she was about to become one herself, and one of the most powerful of the age. Mina resisted the idea. She was a ruthlessly clever woman who had never had much of an interest in ghosts before. But in the end, she found herself in the dark of her parlour, holding hands with her friends and channeling a spirit that would earn her international fame, that of her own brother.
Welcome back to the studio, Anne.
Oh, thanks, Auntie Nada.
And you picked this one.
I did. Oh, boy. Yeah, silly me. I've always been fascinated with the age of spiritualism, particularly with the physical mediums. And I suggested to Renata that we do this one. So it's a really interesting story. And I think it will still fit perfectly with the True Hauntings genre.
Yes, it does.
And then we sort of separated and we do our bits of research and we were ready to come back together. And I had this sudden dawning just before Renata was coming over that maybe I'd got two mediums muddled, and I quickly sort of messaged her and said, Renata, did you do Mina Crandon or did you do blah, blah, blah? And she went, I did Mina Crandon, like you suggested. I went, oh, no, I've done the wrong one. And then I promptly went into a meltdown.
Mm. But that's okay. You've got that information.
Yes.
Which is a bit saucy.
Oh, it, I was actually a little bit worried about doing it. I mean, we're going to have to put a little bit of an adults only warning on this one. So please, if there's kiddies around, this is not an episode for them to listen to because we will be talking about female genitalia.
Oh, no.
There'll be some saucy bits, so to speak. Mm. But the other one is, so we might do her in a couple of episodes' time,
yes,
I reckon.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
These stories are fascinating. Really fascinating. And, you know, listen in, guys, because this is your first taste of what was going on in the spiritualist community.
Yeah, and we have both attended seances just like the ones that they're going to be talking about.
Yes.
So we can interject with our own personal experiences of what goes down in the seance room.
That's right. So let me get on to the history here. And we are talking about a woman called Marjorie Crandon. And this case, this major episode of its time, was known as the Marjorie case. And it was subject to a lot of public controversy because of all the articles that were written in the newspaper about her and her ongoing spats with someone who was very, very beloved and well-known at the time, Harry Houdini.
Houdini himself, yes.
So now apparently she could levitate. She could produce other psychokinetic phenomena, which we will be talking about, and her mediumship was led by what they call direct voice, and that was of a male who seemed to originate independently from her own voice box. And that was something that was tested over and over and over again. So when saying that, what we are talking about is the fact that you could literally stuff a sock in her mouth and she could still produce this noise, this voice.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a requirement for her to use her voice box and her mouth.
And there's actual photos if you want to look up the spiritualism when they had the external voice boxes where they would produce through ectoplasm these creations that would be external to them that the spirits were supposed to use to talk through.
Oh, wouldn't have this been fascinating if it was real?
But now, Renata.
Okay. Right.
We don't know for sure. We really don't know for sure.
No, we don't.
You're just a grumpy old woman. Gosh.
So,
don't bother listening anymore, people. We've solved this one.
Renata
says it's all crap, so we're just going to go off and have a sherry or something.
Get ready for Valentine's Day. I do want to see one that I can sit in and go, I cannot believe this.
Sense spirit, so therefore you have, but again, in saying that, you may sense spirit, but if there are other spirits in the room, they may not choose to reveal themselves to you.
I'm just saying, I want to see one that I believe.
Yeah, all right. I've seen a lot more than you have, so I've seen some things that I cannot explain. But keep going.
Nina Stinson, that's who we're talking about.
Yes.
And she was born in 1888 in Princeton, Ontario, Canada, and she was the youngest of six children.
Hey.
And she grew up on a family farm. She was closest to her brother, Walter. And he was the elder brother by 5 years, and he was a railway worker, and he died in an accident in 1911, aged only 28 years old, when a freight train wagon toppled off the tracks and crushed him. What a horrible, horrible way to die. So after she completed her secondary education at the age of 17, she moved to Boston.
So that was quite well educated for
a woman.
Yeah, in the very early 1900s.
And she worked as a secretary in the Union Congregational Church. And she was an accomplished cello player, and she performed in the church orchestra.
Oh, I bet she knows Pachelbel Canon, or shall we say Pachelbel. The bride used to come up, because I played in a string quartet trio for many, many years, and the brides would always say, I want the Canon in D by Pachelbel. And it was because they didn't know how to say it, but we had so many variations. But it's Pachelbel's Canon. If we want to do it with an Aussie voice, I won't sing you a rendition. But all cello players have to play the same, I think, 12 notes over and over. Anyway, go on, Renata. Sorry, I digress.
Now, in 1910, Mina married Earl Rand. This would be her first marriage, and he was a grocer, and she had a son by him, John, who was born in 1913.
Now, remember John, because I'm going to refer to him later. I found my last nugget of gold with John.
Oh, this is the only time I actually got to hear about John, so I'll be interested in that. Now, she divorced Rand in 1918, so that was a good 8 years, but in the same year.
Oh, same year?
Same year, she married a gentleman called Leroy Goddard Crandon.
Oh, what a name.
And he was a prominent Boston surgeon who was then serving as an officer at the local Navy hospital. And that's where she met him, because she was working part-time as an ambulance driver.
An ambulance driver?
Yes.
I didn't think they'd let ladies drive ambulances in those days.
There you go.
You have to drive recklessly as an ambulance. No, you don't. You're a very safe driver.
Now, Crandon had been married twice before, so this was going to be his third marriage, and Mina, or Marjorie, as we know her, was 14 years...
Junior. Yes.
So Leroy Goddard Crandon was a Harvard Medical School graduate, and he was a surgeon at the Boston City Hospital and a commodore of the Boston Yacht Club.
Ew, a commodore.
So he would have known many uppity people.
That's a technical term, that one.
Yes.
Uppity people.
Yeah. Now, people who knew him described him as dour, autocratic, and suave, with a morbid fear of death.
Yes.
Which is so bizarre.
Yeah.
Considering he was a surgeon.
Yeah, because you know who he is. He's Doc Martin. He had a fear of blood, you know.
Yes.
But he's got a fear of death.
Yeah. And he, to me, when I was
I wonder if he's guilty about something, if something went wrong and he's got guilt.
Well, let me tell you a story.
Oh, please.
He sounded to me very much like the exact opposite of Marjorie in character.
Yin and yang.
Yeah. So I kind of, when I was reading through all of this, I wondered why Marjorie ever got in connection with him. But I think it was his money.
I mean, she's moved out of, because in those days you sort of married into the same type of family that you were born into, and she's stepped out of the country girl and gone into the city life with a surgeon.
Yes, and just after a big world war.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe that was his fascination. Anyway, go on, you must have a story about that. I'll leave you with that.
Yes, so he had an unaristocratic nickname, and he was called Buttonhole Crandon.
Oh.
And this was in reference to the appendectomies. Appendectomies that he did. So he did them through the belly button to avoid leaving a scar.
So he was the first person to come up with buttonhole surgery.
Mm.
Or the little tiny hole that you just dig through.
Yes. But his career took a nosedive when he operated on a pregnant woman because he misdiagnosed her as having cancer. Now, because of that, she lost the child and she sued him and he quit.
Right. So there's guilt.
There's your guilt.
Yeah.
Now, Mina was born Mina Stinson, and we went through, you know, she's Canadian, she's pretty, she's vivacious, she's athletic, and she was eager as all hell to hang on to her sugar daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point in time.
True love, Renata, true love.
You know, it was at some point in time, something for her also created a shift of going, what can I do to make this work? What can I do to make this work? Because he had just dumped his career.
Yeah. How's she going to make money?
Yeah. And they would have had to make money. So Crandon was considered a rationalist until he attended a lecture by Oliver Lodge, and we heard about him, and he was a British physicist, and he wrote a best-selling book in 1916 called Raymond, Life or Life and Death.
and that described mediumistic contacts with a son killed in battle. And I actually got that book when I was...
Oh, I remember.
Yes. Overseas in Hay on Wye.
That's right, in the town of bookstores.
Yes.
I thought we'd died and gone to the proverbial heaven there.
And it was as heavy as all hell because it was quite big.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. And I can understand after reading that book myself how Crandon may have changed the way he thought about all of this.
Yeah, because sometimes reading a book can change the way you think.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean it's right. Don't know, but it makes you think outside the box.
And it gave him a way of redirecting his fear of death,
mm-hmm.
because the spiritualists were saying there is something after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Death is not the end.
Mm-hmm. Now, he was also influenced by Mark W. Richardson, who was a fellow physician and professor of medicine at Harvard. So they were friends. And he convinced him to attend a mediumistic sitting with his two young sons. That his two young sons, fatally struck by polio in 1909, still lived as spirits. So this fellow, Mark W. Richardson, wanted to say to Crandon, look, I've been speaking to my sons. Come to this mediumship seance and you'll see this magic happen.
You don't need to fear death any longer, Leroy.
Leroy. So following this experience with the medium, he proposed that the couple hold a seance at their home, and they had a table built for the purpose similar to the one that Crawford had constructed in his home in Belfast. Now he wrote, six of us sat in red light. The table began to tilt and have raps almost at once, and by elimination we quickly discovered who was to blame. It was Marjorie, who had become a medium.
Oh, okay. So when they say to blame, they're not saying she was faking it, but she was the channel.
She was the channel.
Ooh.
So Marjorie was known to rap on tables. She stopped watches. She produced live pigeons.
Voila!
Oh, and began talking to her dead brother, Walter.
I don't want to look at her pigeon coop. After reading a lot about Marjorie, I do not want to see the pigeon coop.
Oh my God. So Walter was the connection on the other side. Mm-hmm. Now, Walter sounded a lot like Mina, only with a husky voice.
Well, they were related.
And apparently he had the vocabulary that would make a sailor blush. I think more than anything, he said the word shit a lot.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Do we need to beep that? I don't know. We did put a warning at the start so the kitty shouldn't be listening.
Yeah. So this started to draw a lot of attention, and Mina's seances were always a sellout. Hey, we're making money.
Oh, it's a sellout,
yes.
I see.
And, of course, they've got the right criteria of people who are willing to part with their cash for something quite interesting like this to, you know,
and
to watch.
And if it was, as you said, just after a war, it's going to be a lot of people who have lost their loved ones.
Absolutely. So Leroy took Mina to London to see Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who was the creator of Sherlock Holmes, and he was a believer in spiritualism. And Mina convinced him of her paranormal abilities, and he became one of her biggest supporters. So as she grew more and more famous, she got a very unusual nickname, the Witch of Lime Street.
Yeah.
And that's because they lived at 10 Lime Street.
Lime Street.
Yeah. Now,
but she was magical and people, you know, thought there was occult things happening there, so she was deemed a witch.
Yes.
But it's sort of not used so much as a derogatory thing, was it? It was more just like, oh, there's that witchy person.
Yes, yes. I don't know how much I can get into.
Well, how about I can jump into my stuff and you can add bits and pieces in as we go.
Yeah.
Because with these things, it's sort of like more of a discussion than it is, here's this half and that's your the other half.
Yeah.
But if you've got more to add, keep going.
Oh, well, I'll just add a little bit more and it gets just saucier and saucier.
Mm-mm.
Now, sittings were held in conditions of various red light, ordinary light, and complete darkness. Mina's power of movement was constrained by people beside her, one of whom was usually Crandon, her husband, who was holding her hands. Now,
lovely.
I'm just going to say that Crandon, Leroy, was her greatest promoter.
Yes.
And he would often show visitors nude photographs of his wife in seance.
I have that in my notes too. And I'm just going, I don't understand.
No.
Unless he's completely loopy. He's lost his marbles completely. You can be proud of your wife, but in that day and age,
yes,
you don't put nude photos up.
No.
Say, check out this. Do you want to see a pigeon coop?
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah. But she would have had to agree to this.
Yeah.
She would have had to agree to this. So it's...
I don't know. Did she have the photos taken and then just for proof, and he's gone, I need to show this to people?
I'd love to have seen the expression on the photographer's face. you want me to do what? Okay, so luminous bands were worn by Mina on her wrists and ankles by the controllers on their wrists, and that would reveal any motion in the darkness. So if you can imagine people sitting there with like light bands on or luminous bands, people that would be watching would obviously see any movement that was going on.
Yeah.
So sometimes Mina sat within a wooden cabinet, an enclosed space that was commonly thought to help facilitate physical mediumship.
Contains the energy for the energy to build.
Yes. And besides spoken communication by Walter, phenomena witnessed early settings were described as follows. So I'm going to read out a couple of things that she did.
I had some of these, so that you keep going because I've got plenty to talk about.
So raps varying in force from the tap of a fingernail to the click of a heavy boot, raps which answered questions coherently through a code of about 8 words, lights 2 to 5 inches in diameter, pale, non-radiant, non-illuminating, extremely mobile, scents of many odours like perfumes, musical sounds, chimes, bugles, clock bells and other instruments, though none was in the room, movement of furniture, smashing of the cabinet, lifting of the table with a sitter on it, balancing an unequally loaded scale inside a celluloid cover, passage of matter through matter, a ports of roses and of a live pigeon, movements. Those roses couldn't have had any thorns, just saying.
Don't sniff them.
Movement of luminous objects visible to all sitters. Now, an electric bell enclosed within a box and activated by a wooden flap placed at a distance from the medium was often heard to ring.
Ding, ding.
The weighted side of a chemical balance scale, also out of her reach, was seen to rise. Automatic writing was produced in 9 different languages, including Greek and Chinese. Now, of particular note was an ectoplasmic substance said to exude from Mina's body in conditions of total darkness. Gloved-shaped wax moulds were said to be obtained by Walter submerging his temporarily materialised hands in warm paraffin wax.
So it was the husband that created them. The other Crandon.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, photographs were taken of various phenomena, including Walter's hand ringing the bell and a third arm and hand. Now, the whole thing was Walter being Mina's communicator on the other side, so he would communicate vocally either through her when she was entranced or independently through a trumpet shaped cone. His voice deepened over time, so it started off as faint whispers and developed over 4 months into a loud, hoarse, masculine voice, which is very, very, very interesting. Now, she was not only investigated by Harry Houdini. She had had 9 other people investigate her. So there was someone there all the time. And these were big people. So let me just say, Very quickly, 1924, Harvard psychology professor William McDougall, who said it was inconclusive, he couldn't find or kind of note what was the thing that was fake or real. Then there was in 1924, Scientific American, led by McDougall, which also found inconclusive evidence. 1924, Eric Dingwall, British psychical researcher, inconclusive. 1925, Code and Hoagland, they were Harvard students. They said it was unfavorable. 1926, J.B. Ryan, yep, and Louisa Ryan, the American psychologists, yep, who now the Ryan Institute is named after them, they said unfavorable.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Mm-hmm. Did you know that she actually did a total of 90 sittings between April and July of 1924.
Oh, my God.
90 sittings.
Wow.
So how many is she cracking out a week?
He was working hard.
Oh, I bet she had a rash.
Now, 1926, Robert J. Tilliard, who was an Australian biologist, also checked her out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said it was favourable. 1926, Glenn Hamilton, Canadian physician, favourable. 1926, McComas, Dunlap and Wood, American psychology and physics professors, unfavourable. And 1927, Hamlin Garland, American author and psychical researcher, favourable. So just to finish my part off, in 1939, Leroy Crandon, aged 57, died of complications from a fall. So he was still really young.
Yeah, and I was going to say younger than me, but I'm way younger than that, aren't I, Renata?
Now, by this time, Mina was known to have a tendency to have a bit of a sip of the old alcohol.
She'd like to work with spirit, so to speak.
Yeah. And after his death, who she relied on, you know, wholeheartedly, she really hit the bottle. And her last sittings were described by her longtime friend, Nandor Fordor, mm-hmm, as being absolutely pitiful.
Oh.
So I think he would have said to her, Mina, give it up. Please
time
give
to
it
stop.
Up. Yeah. And so she died on the 1st of November 1941 of complications of chronic alcoholism, aged just 54.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
Is that it?
That is it. Oh. Your turn now. I've left all the juicy stuff to you.
Okay. Well, I may need just to go over a little bit of the phenomena, just so you get a sense of who we're working with here before I head into the juicy stuff. Just so you get an idea of what one of her seances were like. Now, Walter, her brother, is the communicator, just like Derek Okora had, what was his? You know, the we were talking about him in the last investigation. Sam! Well, this Walter is her Sam. So he was very protective of his baby sister, as he liked to call her, the kid. He was very witty, bolder, ruder, and quite temperamental. So when you had all of these other mediums who, and like the ones we've gone to, have all produced these messages of love and light.
Yes,
and
I was just going to say that.
He
yeah.
wasn't. He was rude. I think I would have liked Walter. And they produced this phenomena in red light.
Mm.
But there were some things that they didn't do in red light. Mm-hmm. And we know from the seances we have been to that you normally have to do everything in complete darkness because mm-hmm. the light is supposed to interfere with the energy that is building and forming and manipulating. There's also the rules with the medium that is producing ectoplasm. So ectoplasm is a substance produced from the physical medium's body. It doesn't come out of thin air. It's created from the physical medium. And the rules with that is you cannot touch it
mm-hmm.
because if you touch it, it will snap back violently into the medium's body and possibly kill them or leave them quite injured. Mm-hmm. And I know one of the mediums that we went to see, that had happened to that medium, and they even had photos of this giant red mark on their chest where somebody had touched the ectoplasm and it snapped back into their body, and apparently they were quite unwell for days.
Mm.
I'm not going to mention particular mediums because
no.
that's not my job here yeah. today. I yeah. just want to tell you the experiences that we have had. And you may hear a little bit of sarcasm here and there. That's for you to interpret. A typical seance went like this. I've tried to be as polite as I can. The sitters would sit in a circle in the Crandon's parlour. Now, they'd hold hands. Some psychic investigators would also hold down Mina's feet
mm-hmm.
to make sure she wasn't, you know, poking her toes into things. Mina would go off quiet and nod off into a trance, or she would sit still waiting like the others, and then they would get this whistle. This whistle would cut through the air announcing that Walter was on the scene. Now, apparently Mina was never able to whistle. You described the voice being very different to Mina's, but apparently at the beginning it was quite similar, but it's supposed to be quite... Now, it's also heard from different places in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she was being held mm-hmm. and allegedly known where they were,
mm-hmm.
but there'd be people that would have them whisper in their ear, or it would appear from the other side of the room. They would curse, crack jokes, sing along to hit tunes, and suddenly the Victrola, the music machine, record player, would start playing music and he would sing along to it. Even when everyone at the table had their mouths full of water, including the medium themselves. So mm-hmm. not just the medium, everyone. So mm-hmm. that was allegedly to show that there was nobody else in the room that was doing that. Mm-hmm. I like their controls.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to controls, I can be very picky, because another one of these seances we went to, they went to great troubles to have someone go and check the room and make sure there was nothing hidden anywhere. And I was chosen at once.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Stage, and I went through and I knew that room quite well. and I noticed there was a bucket that had been taped to the floor. And I said, can I look under that bucket? She said, oh, but we've already put it in place. I said, well, how can I do the protocol if I can't look at everything? She said, oh, yeah, no, don't need to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that immediately puts suspicion into your mind.
Absolutely.
Vocal productions were no means the only way Walter impressed me and his guests. Again, rigorous scientific tests and controls. I don't know. He made tables lurch, rear up on hind legs like a dog, chase people out of the room in the hallway. But we've had that happen. We've had weird stuff happen with the tables.
Yes.
Pinched, poked, removed delicate pins from hair, blasted people with cold air in closed rooms.
Mm.
We saw a video of a physical medium that was supposed to make cool air rush around the room,
mm-hmm.
and somebody had put in a IR camera, unknowns to them, and they had taken their T-shirt off and they were whipping it around their head on the IR camera to make a breeze. But the question is, this person was restrained in cable ties, which were cut off, and somebody holds the end of those cable ties to make sure that they haven't been tampered with, and they're cut, they're in tight. How do they get out of the cable ties and get back into them so they're in the same position? I don't know. I'm sure there's people who can instruct me on how to do that. But yeah, so this is some of the phenomena setting the scene for you. Now, Renata, you just raised something important as I was quickly grabbing my notes. That the when this stuff happens with these physical mediums, that it doesn't necessarily damage their career.
No. And this was mentioned with Mina, or Marjorie, as we call her. It was mentioned in the notes that I read that it sort of didn't damage her reputation when things were found out about her.
No, more people came to see for themselves, probably.
That's right. And we found that with the
loyal followers.
The person that you had just mentioned, that after that...
And there's more than one of them. There's many of them. And once one gets called out, all of a sudden the daggers come out for all the others and the truth starts to be revealed about each one of the other physical mediums and the stuff that they get up
to. But they all, like you said, have really loyal followers.
They
and
do.
It becomes an us and them fight.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So continuing on, we talked about the automatic writing and the different languages, and we talked about the gloved hand. Now, Mina was very willing to continually be submitted to further and further controls, and you know, people would say, you know, you've got to get in this box or you've got to wear this suit. She would keep going, yep, sure, not a problem. But she was also a highly intelligent and charming woman, exceedingly good-natured and possessed a fund of humour and courage, which made her an ideal subject for investigation. So it sounds a little bit like she might be charming.
Very charming, we found out.
Some of the other controls that they did is that they had somebody put a hand over the psychic's mouth and still the voice would come out. They'd filled the mouth with water, still the voice came out. And there was even a device they created called a voice cutout machine.
Yes.
Which was a long tube into which Mina blew in order to support two tiny luminescent spheres that would be seen to drop if she opened her lips to speak.
Yes.
So that's like those things they test your breath flow and you've got to blow into it. You've got to hold the balls up, so to speak.
So how did she, how did it happen?
Worry. We'll get there.
Oh,
it's all real, Renata. So some people, like, these are all different investigators coming through, giving their reports. One of the investigators said that the voice was mainly coming from within the cabinet or close to it. But if they requested, it could be heard up to 8 feet away from her. So you'd have to have people running around doing things for you, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would.
I've got so many notes now that I've just got to jump over to make sure that I don't double up too much on what you've said. I did that about the voice. It was absolutely fascinating and startling to hear him wander about the room. At times his voice would be close to my ear whispering some personal comment about me or my family. Other times it would be far corner of the room or from outside the room beyond the door. piled waist high with books. So they'd barricade the room to stop people coming in as well. Or sometimes the voice came from the centre of the table. Now, this is a description of Mina. When Mrs. Crandon was presented, she would be completely completely upset all preconceptions of the famous medium. Very attractive blonde with a charming expression, an excellent figure. This is not the one you read, is it?
No.
No. The Witch of Lime Street. And if you get the chance to read that book, Houdini and the Witch of Lime Street, this is what brought me to this topic. It's a great book to read. So she proved to be a thoroughly feminine lady, frequently treated to dinner, warmed with wine and pleasant conversation. The sitters were given a short talk by Crandon, Mr. Crandon, I assume, in his quiet, well-modulated voice, and show photographs of teleplasmic manifestations from her bits. They might then meet Dr. Mark Richards. You can't fail You could not fail to like him. So there's members of the advanced circle. And now we have this as well, yes, to be in that inner circle.
Yeah.
It's very desirous. And once you get into that inner circle, you believe everything that's happening.
That's correct.
To the detriment of other people sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Now we go on to Houdini. I'm sorry, we're not sure how long this episode's going to be because we've been having troubles with the digital recorder here and it keeps cutting out on us. He said about Dr. Crandon had this fascination with death.
Yes.
Apparently one of the reasons why Marjorie started the seance as a hobby was to distract her husband from his morbid obsession by giving him the idea that there was hope.
Yes.
So that was her way of coping with it. But
I think it was more than that, but never mind.
Yeah, June 23rd, 1924, her name was submitted as a candidate for a prize offered by Scientific America magazine to any medium who could demonstrate telekinetic ability under scientific controls.
Mm.
Now, because she had a husband who was a doctor, and she was very charming, and there was apparently no interest in personal monetary reward because they looked at her as a doctor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't know that he'd quit. She seemed to be a very honest person to the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have all sorts of people in her seance. She'd have the middle class as well as well-known people of the upper Boston Society and the Ivy League. She'd have famous supporters like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, as you mentioned. So once they decided that they were going to test her to see if she was going to be awarded the prize, they sent through that list of people that you mentioned earlier. Now, at some stage or other, they didn't have everyone there, but they sent through several to test her. And one of the people was it Michael? Anyway, there was a J. Malcolm Bird, who was an employee of Scientific American, but not on the prize committee. He got hold of Houdini and said, it's looking like Marjorie's going to win the prize.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking like she's the real deal. So Houdini went, I doubt it very much. And he attended two seances in Boston at Marjorie's home on the 23rd and 24th of July in 1924 and claimed to observe Crandon's tricks. He was onto it straight away. According to Houdini, Crandon escaped the control, stretched her foot to ring a bell in the seance room. So Houdini told the committee that it was all fraud, gave them a practical demonstration of how she was doing it, and it actually became part of his act that he would go around and demonstrate what Marjorie was doing to humiliate her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I need to mention here that we have Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and Houdini, who were best mates.
Not for long.
Because Houdini desperately wanted to believe that mediums were true because he'd lost his mother, who he was just totally devoted to, and wanted to get a message from his mother. But nobody could come up with the goods. And he became bitter and twisted towards any sort of psychic or medium. And it became his life's purpose to discredit them.
Yeah.
No matter the cost.
Yeah.
So, Houdini then wanted to put her into an apparatus which prevented her from using the legs. It was a large cabinet box, leaving only her head and her hand sticking out. So think of a hot box where you sweat yourself out. And they had 25th of August, Comstock and Houdini in the seance with Crandon placed in the cabinet. They had a box with a bell placed on a table in front of the cabinet. Now, during the seance, the bell made a noise. When the lights were turned on, it was shown that the lid of the cabinet box had been forced open. And then Houdini claimed that Crandon had cheated and had rung the bell himself. So the husband. So part of the problem with the control is that they had the husband holding her hand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen this in other seances as well, where a wife or a partner or a boyfriend or girlfriend would hold the hand of the person.
Yes. Yes.
That's not good controls for me. There should be someone next to them that is not involved.
But the explanation is that they are there to make sure that the psychic medium person is always safe.
Oh, I know. I know. But it also leaves it open to fraud.
Yeah.
So then we're up to the 27th of August. Comstock, one of the investigators who were looking mm-hmm. for her for the prize, wanted to put her into a median, not medium, but median control, which was a device consisting of a box. The investigator would put their they'd put their feet into it, and connecting to the box was a board, which was locked up to the top of the knees, preventing withdrawal of the feet. So now they're going to stop her using her feet. Mm-hmm. Crandon's hands were held by the investigator and the box with the bell was placed outside of the control box. Again, she agreed to be tested like this. But in this particular case, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was no phenomena. And based on that, Marjorie did not win the prize. Now, there is some contention here that during the seance with this cabinet box that Houdini made for her, apparently she requested the sides be closed so she could move her hands and feet freely around inside the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, at the end of the seance, they found a collapsible ruler inside of the cabinet. Houdini immediately has gone, that's it. That's proof. Crandon's used the ruler to ring that bloody bell. In response, the Crandons then accused Houdini and the assistant Jim Collins of placing the ruler inside the cabinet to discredit her.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no way on this earth Houdini could ever have anyone prove that they were a medium, because that would make him look like a fool.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things with this sort of phenomena. Just because you can recreate it and mm-hmm. show that it can be faked does not mean that it is faked.
Yes.
It means it possibly can be.
Yep.
I don't know.
And we found this when we were going through our seance period too and going to see these people, that there were certainly things that you could not get your head around and mm-hmm. go, how did that happen? Now, that's not saying everything could be faked in a session.
Yep.
But the problem with all of this, as we've seen over the years, is that the game would level up continuously. And these people who were stuck in these positions as psychics and mediums had to be more and more interesting and more out there because other people were doing better.
Yeah.
And so their tricks had to improve all the time.
Yeah.
And so
remember this conversation, everyone. Remember this, because I'm going to come back to this.
Because you may have had those interesting things occurring which were really, really physical phenomena.
The true phenomena has been hidden because of the fake phenomena.
Yeah.
So therefore it loses its magic.
Yeah. It wasn't good enough because other people were doing even more extraordinary
things. Is even happening on YouTube and TikTok now, as people keep trying to outdo each other with their pranks and their jokes and their videos.
Yeah.
We're going to run out of time.
Yeah. I just want to go back and just remind people of the time that all of this is happening, in a time when there's no TV, in a time
bored.
When there is no kind of way of really researching things for yourself, as we have now on the internet, where we can go in and find out all the information that we want about everyone and anybody, a lot of people would have come to these things with a completely open mind and believed every single thing that was going on.
Absolutely. Interestingly, in regards to the assistant with the ruler in 1959, author William Lindsay Gresham accused Collins of placing the ruler and quoted him as saying, "I chucked it in the box myself. The boss told me to do it. He wanted to fix her good." But then later on, he said he never said that. So who do you believe? Who has the truth? Nobody really knows. Now, we also have the American Society of Psychical Research, who was taken over by the spiritualism movement, and they championed Crandon. They thought she was wonderful, and they actually suppressed any reports that were unfavourable towards her.
Do you have the information about the dalliances that she had?
I'm getting there. Look, I've still got pages and pages of notes. So she did perform many seances in the nude. There were some people who described her as being too attractive for her own good. It may have been suggested that some of the psychical investigators may have had some dalliances with her.
They were just checking for concealed.
They were. They were looking in that pigeon coop. Had to
pigeons.
Check out the it was feathers. oh dear. So there was a suggestion that J. Malcolm Bird, who was the one telling Houdini she was going to get the prize, she was having a fling with him, but apparently she didn't like him, thought he was repulsive. But she did have a thing for Herewood Carrington, and she was supposed to have had an affair with him. Now, interestingly, one of the supporters, he happened to borrow some money which he was unable to repay.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So is that a bit of, you owe us money, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that for sure.
No.
But anyway, she was in the nude. Sometimes she would put some luminous powder on her breasts so you could see where her breasts were.
Yes, you do.
At all times. There was a historian also that, noted that Bird, Carrington and Dingwall were all personally involved with Crandon. They were biased and unreliable witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, we've got Dr. Ryan turning up, Joseph Banks Ryan, and he just said, "It's trickery. It's not even worthwhile looking at. Why are you looking at this woman? She gets free of the control," and he said that she kicked a megaphone to give the impression that it was levitating.
Yes.
Now, there was also an English teacher that came on the scene, Grant Code. He used to come quite often to the seances, and he believed wholeheartedly. And then he started to realise that maybe this was all fraudulent as well. I've just got to make sure that I've covered everything I need. Oh, there's one stage she put a luminescent star on her forehead so that she could work out where her face was in the dark. Now, a few minutes into the seance, a narrow, dark rod appeared over a luminous checkerboard which had been placed on the table opposite Crandon. It moved from side to side, picked up an object. As it passed in front of Wood, he lightly touched it with the tip of his finger and followed it back to a point very near Crandon's mouth. It was thought that they were holding a rod in their teeth. Now, he grabbed the end of the tip and pinched it, and he said that it felt like a knitting needle covered with one or two layers of soft leather. And that's where they went into the whole thing about the ectoplasm, you can't touch it and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of this session, Wood had to dictate what his experiences were during the seance. So he dictated to the stenographer that exactly what had happened and what he felt.
Yeah.
Apparently Crandon shrieked and fainted on the spot and had to be carried out of the room, and the committee was asked to bugger off and he was never allowed to come back again. They concluded the rod was an animal intestine, been stuffed with cotton and stiffened with wire. As you said, that once her husband died, everything started to go downhill. She was an alcoholic. She went into a deep depression. And one of her last seances, she attempted to jump off the roof of the house.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, dear.
Yeah. So the hand is a very famous thing. This hand that they've got the photograph of, which was a plaster mold that's been created by the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all sus. According to the photographs people have looked at, they said it resembles animal tissues and a trachea cut and sewn together.
He was a doctor.
He was a doctor. Mm-hmm. So he has the ability to get his hands on this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Or animals and stitch things together. She refused to wear tights or to be internally searched, so she was not allowed to have her chicken coop or her pigeon coop checked. So this is a good one. You'll like this. Crandon had surgically altered... got to find it. Hang on. I found it. Okay. Allegations were made by some conjuring historians of Houdini and mediumship that her surgeon husband had altered her genitalia, and this was where she concealed the teleplasmic hand. He'd stitched a fake hand on there.
No.
Can you see how it's going too far the other way?
Yeah.
To prove that...
Yeah.
This is not real. And look, I don't blame her for saying, no, you're not putting your fingers up there. No. That's just inappropriate.
But that's apparently what was happening to these women who were in this position.
Yes.
There was a demand that they be completely searched.
And it's normally the men that wanted to do it.
Absolutely.
Except for this other one I researched, but we'll talk about that another day.
Oh, okay.
All right, I've got to find where I'm up to. I got all excited, got lost. I've just got to add a little bit of intrigue here. We were talking about Bird was one of the people that was involved in this. Part of Bird's rejected report to the ASPR, who I said was trying to hide things. The occasion was one of Houdini's visits to Boston for the purpose of the sitting. She, Marjorie, sought a private interview with me and tried to get me to agree, in the event the phenomena did not occur, that I would ring the bell box myself or produce something else that might pass as activity by Walter. It seems to me of paramount importance in that it shows her fully conscious and fully normal in a situation where she thought she might have to choose between fraud and a blank seance, and she was willing to choose fraud.
Mm. I wonder also how much deep poop they were in financially at that stage.
Yeah.
I know they were making money, but there's still only a certain amount of money you can make from seances, really.
Yeah.
Especially when all of this is going on in the background.
Now, I'm winding it up now because there's so much more I could talk about, but she didn't get the prize. But that didn't slow her down. Kept holding seances, as you said, inviting all the doubters to come and check her out. Investigators. Oh, there was something about a luminous jumping paper donut. Oh, one investigator reported that he witnessed Marjorie reaching beneath her dress and pulling out strands of fake ectoplasm, which appeared to be butcher's offal.
Oh,
yes, that's not where you store that stuff, love. Now, this is a really interesting thing. Meanwhile, Marjorie supporters went on the offensive, threatening to beat Houdini to a pulp and rooting for his demise.
Mm-hmm.
The escape artist continued to defy death in stage shows, locked, bolted, changed in coffins, submerged in waters, buried 6 feet under in sand each time he escaped. But Walter, sorry, that was a Freudian slip, wasn't it?
Mm.
Walter said, don't worry about it. Houdini will be gone by Halloween.
Yes.
In fact, Houdini died in agony on the afternoon of October 31st, 1926, from septic poisoning because he had offered, he used to say to people, now punch me in my stomach, you know, it doesn't affect me. But he said, yeah, it punched me, but he didn't get the chance to actually prepare his muscles to with to withstand it.
Yeah.
And he got a punch and his appendix burst and he got a fatal infection. Although he still refused to admit that there was anything wrong with him, he died. Which means that prediction was true.
Yeah, they did say that they believe that Mina cursed him.
Well,
Walter cursed him.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do we believe with that?
Mm.
Does that mean that he has ability? Or the spirit guide? I'm rattling around trying to find my last bit of paper. The very, very end it's entitled. Towards the end of Mina's career, Walter spoke through another medium. Did you know about this?
No.
So, Elaine Garrett.
Ah.
An Irish psychic that channeled messages and information. Without knowing who Mina was, Elaine identified her as a powerful medium and spoke with the voice of a young man who addressed Mina as Kid, who Walter used to call her, and correctly identified the name of their childhood dog. Mina's heart must have stopped in her throat when she heard his message. Kid, you certainly are an old fraud, but I am in on it.
Wow.
Now, my final statement. Mina's son.
Yeah.
Remember I said Mina's son?
Who we haven't heard of at all.
No, he had the according to this article, had the dubious honour of growing up around all of the supernatural hullabaloo, said of his mother that some of it had been real, especially at the beginning.
Yeah.
The full knowledge of just how much of it has died with Mina, and you'll never know what was real and what wasn't.
Wow. And this is a really sad part about it.
Yeah.
Because some of these people have real abilities.
Yep.
Real amazing abilities, but it's overshadowed by the needs and the wants of everyone else around them.
Yep.
And performance, needing to perform and needing to make things bigger, better, glossier, brighter, shinier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Renato, is it a true haunting? Is this real, the physical mediumship channeling the spirit of Walter?
I want to believe that it could have been real at the very beginning until things changed.
Things went awry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that she's gone to that first seance and had that experience, and you go away and you start working in your own circle yourself, and maybe they did have some phenomena to start with. Mm-hmm. But to keep up with the others, especially when all of a sudden you're in the papers and you're gaining fame and they've got people coming in to disprove you, you're going to do anything to keep your reputation.
Yeah, especially with Crandon, because he was a well-known person. And it is said that he loved the attention that he was still getting from all of this.
I can't say it's real or not because we'll never know. Yeah. We will never know. I hope that there was something that was real.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of this one. I hope you like the direction we've gone with this one. Let us know if you want to hear more on the physical mediums of the spiritualism, because I tell you, there's some doozies out there. But if you want to support our work, don't forget you can become a Patreon, especially a Grand Poobah, to get all the inside goss and two lots of readings a month and little catch-ups when we're going live. But you can also buy us a coffee. All those links will be down below. Thanks for being here. We'll see you on the dark side.
Remember to stay spooky and don't be a dickhead.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow at Anne and Renata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or visit their website, www.anneandrenata.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.